as the U.S. accounts for only about 2% of total land area. Driving the record warm land-based temperatures, October also saw the fifth month in a row of record high ocean temperatures. Scientists attribute the record high ocean temperatures to high water temperatures in the North Pacific, including an extremely large pool of warm water nicknamed the Blob that stretches from the east coast of Japan to Alaska.
As the holiday season approaches, Walmart reopened a food drive that has caused much controversy in the past. Many Walmart employees do not make enough money to survive without government assistance. The food drive, which is supposed to aid employees in need, is seen by many as a slap in the face in the absence of suitable wages. The store received controversy last year for launching a similar food drive at a store in Ohio. Employees went a step further this year, taking an empty food bin to the condo of Alice Walton, the daughter of founder Sam Walton. The bin was placed outside with a sign stating, "We don't want charity, we want decent pay."
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Riley Turner, Dan Richardson, Joanna Peterson, Don Zur, and Ken Jones. Special thanks to Chris Andre. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kitzhaber's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Ken Jones.
And coming up for tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 o'clock, Joe Uris hosts the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. He'll get your reactions to the Ferguson verdict. At 9 o'clock, alternative radio professor and author Michelle Alexander speaks on race and caste in America. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, commentary, and more with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news with Dennis Bernstein. At 11:30, on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Rio Nguyen, a textile artist. Thank you all, KBOO members, for your very generous support. If you are not yet a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Good night, Ken.
Good night, Ali. Good night, Danielle.
KBOO at the Clinton, a monthly film screening at the Clinton Street Theater, is proud to show Five Broken Cameras on Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. The first ever Palestinian film to be nominated for Best Documentary Feature, Five Broken Cameras is a deeply personal first-hand account of life and nonviolent resistance in a West Bank village surrounded by Israeli settlements. Shot by Palestinian farmer Ahmad Burnat, who brought his first camera in 2005 to record the birth of his youngest son, the film is structured in chapters around the destruction of each one of Burnat's cameras. Again, that's Five Broken Cameras, Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Welcome to Labor Radio, the program of, by, and for working people. Co-hosted tonight by Jamie Partridge and myself, John Walsh, with Daniel Parks Engineering. We have a two-part show for you, both local and global. First, an interview with United Farm Worker organizer Indira Trejo and dairy worker Luis about the fight of Latino workers for safe, healthy, and dignified work conditions at dairies in Washington State. Second, we hear about the labor rights of dock workers under the free trade regime in the city of Buenaventura, Colombia's biggest port. Let's start with Jamie's interview with Indira Trejo and Luis.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio. This is Jamie Partridge, your host, and tonight we have guests from the United Farm Workers. We're talking with Indira Trejo with the United Farm Workers, coordinating the campaign around Dairygold and Dairygold dairies and the milk in milk products industry. And we also have online Luis, who is one of the workers at one of the farms that supplies Dairygold. Good morning, good evening, Luis and Indira. Let's start out by hearing about what the situation on the farms. What are the conditions that are troubling to the workers on the farms?
The conditions, Jamie, are, you know, workers are not getting lunch break or rest breaks. They also are working excessive hours and not getting paid for them. Also, they do not have access to clean drinking water. The amount of injuries in the dairy industry is the number 4 highest or most dangerous places to work in the entire labor industry. So workers get injured, you know, by the cows all the time. It's very unsafe to work at the dairies. And also, we hear about stories of, you know, verbal abuse and mistreatment to the workers.
So can we hear from Luis about what his experience is with working conditions, how long he's been doing this kind of work?
Don Luis, él quiere saber cuál es su experiencia trabajando en la lechería, cuáles son las condiciones bajo las que usted trabajaba y por cuánto tiempo usted estaba haciendo este trabajo.
Oh, antes que todo quiero agradecerle su atención aquí a la radio y al señor Jimmy y a todos los radioescuchas por su atención y que se den cuenta la comunidad de realmente los problemas que...
He wants to thank us for... He wants to thank you for, you know, giving him the opportunity to express, you know, his situation and also with all your audiences.
Sí, como no, la experiencia es, pues desde que entra uno, ¿verdad?, que no hay una capacitación de que realmente en la área en lo que va uno a desempeñar su trabajo.
Everything starts, you know, since the beginning, you know, when they start working, they don't receive any training and... You know, that's risking their lives because not having a training to deal with, you know, the cows, I mean, that right there, you're risking your life doing that.
How is it that workers are risking their lives? Can you describe that?
¿Cómo es que ustedes como trabajadores están arriesgando sus vidas?
Bueno, sabemos que los animales son impredecibles en sus movimientos, ¿verdad?
He knows that, you know, working with the animals, with the cows, they're very unpredictable animals. You know, sometimes they throw themselves at the workers. I mean, they're very heavy. They kick. So that, you know, puts their lives in danger. And also, you know, the pressure of having to work without, you know, having a meal and a lunch break. And also, I mean, you know, it's very, very hard work. So what he was saying, Jamie, is that the guys that work in the milking parlor, they go in, they are supposed to work 8 hours, but they have to show up an hour early and they leave an hour later. And there's also other positions, the ones that corral the cows back to their corrals. There's the inseminators, the feeders.
So at some point, Luis, you made a connection with the United Farm Workers. How did that happen?
En algún momento usted hizo una conexión con la Unión de Campesinos. ¿Cómo fue que eso pasó?
Bueno, la situación es que al ver la situación.
So when he noticed, you know, the injustices going on and the abuses by the managers, the supervisors, the people in charge, then, you know, he thought to himself, you know, that he needed to reach out. And he reached different organizations, and the only one, you know, that he's been able to receive some support from is the United Farm Workers. But since he's been disabled, he had the time to research about who would be able to help him, you know, change that. And what he wants is, you know, that his rights as a dairy worker are respected, that, you know, he gets his access to his lunch breaks, and that they're that they get the respect, you know, for the labor that they for the work that they do. And also for him, he, you know, he wants a contract, and not just for his dairy, but, you know, for the entire industry.
And these are in how many dairies are we talking about here, and is this across the state of Washington? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, these are dairies throughout, not just in Washington, but also Idaho and Oregon.
Uh-huh. And what is it that binds them together? Is there a one distributor, one?
Right. So they, you know, when they come together, we've had also, you know, workers that come from other dairies to our meetings. But the common denominator is that they all know that who picks up their milk at the dairies is, you know, the truck with a winky cow, which is the Milky Way truck, which is Dairy Gold.
Dairy Gold. Uh-huh. And so you've been involved in a struggle involving Dairy Gold and retailers, is that right, to try to find a solution to the workers' situation?
So part of, you know, what we've been doing, Jamie, is we've reached out to retailers because we've tried, you know, talking to Dairy Gold to put a solution to this. And obviously, you know, what they have said is this, you know, the dairies are owned independently, although they all own Dairy Gold, right? And that they didn't have any jurisdiction on that. But the reality is that this is a systematic issue, right? Every dairy that workers come from, they all have different issues, but at the same, you know, at this different, but very similar. Let's put it that way. So the amount of injuries, if it's a small, you know, dairy, or if it's a large dairy, same problem, right? And those small ones, you know, they may have 300 to 400 cows, but they may have bulls, and then they also don't get the training, right? That's a constant, and they are exposed to acid that they have to use to clean the hooves of the cows. And the large ones, you know, a couple workers have to milk, you know, those 5,000 cows, and that's why they don't get their lunch breaks, because they can't go home until they're not done. If not, then the cows get sick and they develop mastitis if they're not milked on time. So it's a lot of issues, and what we're trying to do, you know, I mean, these guys need training. They need to know. I mean, Luis is an exceptional worker that, you know, he does his research and, you know, he reached out to us and has been trying, you know, to figure out a way and how to change this. He wants his lunch breaks, you know. He got hurt himself and has been disabled for an entire year. This puts his family at risk, you know, everything that these workers have. And they don't have they feel alone. So bringing them together now they know that this is not an issue that they, you know, they're alone. It's an issue that it's everywhere, and what we have tried to do is to work with them and, you know, talk to the retailers that supply, you know, the milk that they are producing every day, and because this is happening here in our backyard, you know, when people think about issues happening with when there's abuse and involved, we think about third world countries, but this is happening here in the Pacific Northwest, with a company that everybody, you know, loves, Dairy Gold Milk, right? And what we're trying to find is solutions. They are set in a very old-fashioned way of milking cows, and we think that, you know what, these workers deserve a training. They deserve to be treated with respect and dignity, and that's what we're asking for, and that's the message that, you know, that we've sent to the retailers and also to Dairy Gold.
So is Dairy Gold talking with you, negotiating with you? And if not, what is it that you're trying to what's happening with the retailers, and which retailers are we talking about?
You know, we've tried talking to Dairy Gold in the past, and unfortunately, you know, we haven't. There is no agreement there yet. And now we're talking to different retailers. And for example, right now we have a campaign online where, you know, our supporters, our the consumers are asking, you know, Fred Meyer's and Kroger's to ask Dairy Gold to talk to us, because if we're not talking, then we're not, you know, nothing is happening. And that's what, you know, brings frustration to the workers also, right? But when there's no line of communication, I mean, you know, there's so little that it's happening. And we really want to bring solutions to these workers, because on a daily basis, I mean, we hear, you know, stories about, you know, what's happening to them. If they don't bring water to the job, and, you know, then they don't have access to clean drinking water. If they forgot, you know, their bottled water in at home or something like that, forget it. Then they're going to be thirsty all day and won't have access to that. And the conditions that they work when it's summer, forget it. I mean, they will get dehydrated and stuff. So
you mentioned a campaign online involving Fred Meyer and Kroger. Familiar right. Stores in our area. How do our listeners access that campaign online?
So they can go to www.ufw.org/dairygold, DARIGOLD, and you know, just we have alerts, you know, sharing the stories of the workers, and. You know, we send, they can send an email directly to, and our last alert was sent to one of the board members of Kroger, and his name is Mr. Lewis, David Baker Lewis. He is actually the social responsibility chair of the committee for Kroger. So, you know, we think that if we send emails to him, you know, he will take a look at what's happening and so that we can come together with a solution with Dairy Gold workers.
Wonderful. Is there anything, final words that Luis wants to share with our listeners?
Bueno, pues quiero informarles a la comunidad que pues nos apoyen.
He wants to thank all your audiences and you know, this is not a war, or this is nothing against, you know, the farmer or the company itself. All we want is for our rights to be respected, and, you know, we need the support of the people listening. So he wants to thank everybody for that, and also you, Jamie, and the UFW.
All right. Well, so again, for our listeners, to get involved with this campaign, go to www.ufw.org UFW, United Farm Workers, ufw.org/Darigold, D-A-R-I-G-O-L-D. And thanks to Indira Luis from the United Farm Workers for your participation in Labor Radio.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jamie, for giving us this opportunity.
That was Jamie Partridge interviewing Indira Trejo of the United Farm Workers and dairy worker Luis about their fight for better working conditions here in the Pacific Northwest. Next, we hear about a struggle both far away and close to home, the situation of dock workers in Colombia. It's far away geographically, but in a global economy closely linked. We face the same multinational employers, and if you go to the ports, both there and here, the names on the containers are the same. I spoke with John Jairo Castro, who's the president of the Buenaventura chapter of the Unión Portuaria de Colombia. Si quieres escuchar la entrevista entera en español, puedes ir a nuestra página de Facebook, Labor Radio on KBOO, para encontrar el vínculo. Let's hear that interview.
The contradictions of free trade are on stark display in Buenaventura, Colombia. That city is the South American nation's largest port and also one of its most violent locations. Great commercial wealth and great illicit narco wealth flow through the city, while the population lives in poverty, unemployment, and amidst a lack of public services. Labor Radio spoke with the president of the Buenaventura chapter of the Unión Portuaria, which is the labor union representing dock workers, not only in Buenaventura but other ports in Colombia. John Jairo Castro has been to the United States, has seen the ports here, and knows that the modern facilities look the same in both countries, but the surrounding communities, the distribution of wealth and income, is quite different. He told us about working conditions in Colombia. The interview in Spanish you can find online at www.kboo.fm. The link is on our Facebook page, Labor Radio at KBOO. What follows is a summarized, a paraphrased version of what John Jairo had to say about labor conditions in Buenaventura, Colombia on the docks. First, we asked John Jairo to summarize the labor rights situation in the port of Buenaventura.
La situación en el tema laboral acá en Buenaventura, lo que tiene que ver con la actividad portuaria, pues te digo que continúa prácticamente siendo lo mismo.
Well, the situation in terms of labor rights hasn't changed very much. The way the companies handle direct contracting, in quotes, is by having contracts for 15 days or for 6 months. And their comrades who've been in that circumstance for 2 years or 3 years. We asked John Jairo, what are the key issues in the struggle at this moment?
Bueno, como punto clave que estamos llevando ahora, tenemos lo que son unas demandas prácticamente colectivas que vamos a presentar por el tema de los compañeros, pues que, como les explicaba, que hace más de 18 años que han estado activando una paga de seguridad social.
One thing is the filing of a complaint, actually a collective complaint, having to do with the violation of labor rights in the sense of not paying Social Security benefits. Many of the cooperatives and the businesses aren't assuming this responsibility, and they're leaving more than two generations of workers without the possibility of a pension. We have comrades who've been working more than 18 years and don't have a single day's worth of funds deposited on their behalf toward a pension. Another issue is the situation with workers more than 60 years old, many of whom are being discriminated against, being basically cast out into the street.
Ninguna protección, y muchos de ellos están quedando en la calle. El tema de la contratación directa, estamos dando la lucha para que se continúe poco a poco, ir ganando espacio, que las empresas cumplan con la normatividad.
Another thing is direct contracting. We're trying to fight so that little by little companies comply with their responsibilities to employ workers directly. The next question is whether workers in Colombia have seen any changes in the aftermath of the free trade agreement between the U.S. and Colombia. After that went into effect, what changed? Well, things changed, but mostly they favored the rich. And many comrades have been left out of work and with no safety net. In connection with the free trade agreement, a labor action plan was announced by the governments of Colombia and the United States. What can we say about that plan?
El gobierno saca norma, legisla, pero no hace nada a través del Ministerio de Trabajo para que esto se cumpla.
What's happened is the government sets standards, but does nothing to make sure they're actually observed in the workplace. It's up to the employer to decide whether or not they want to comply. If action is taken, if fines are assessed, they aren't actually collected.
Hay una persecución hacia los trabajadores sindicalizados. Hay una política de atropello de acabar a los sindicatos y en especial a Unión Portuaria.
There's a persecution of union members. There's a policy of union busting. For us, we've seen nothing positive.
Entonces, para nosotros, la situación no presenta un cambio positivo.
In that case, can we say the labor action plan is a failure?
Sí, señor. En el momento fue un fracaso porque no ha habido un control. Lo que se necesita es como que exista ese control ante esta empresa y que la obliguen a cumplir las normas.
At the moment, it's a failure because there's no enforcement. If there were enforcement, it'd be something different, but right now it's up to the companies to decide whether they comply or not. Next, we asked about the living conditions of the predominantly Afro-Colombian population of Buenaventura. How is it in their communities? How is it in their neighborhoods? What's the situation in terms of violence, poverty, displacement, public services?
Bueno, en la posición de seguridad en nuestro barrio, en nuestra comuna, la situación sigue lo mismo. Lo único que ha cambiado es la modalidad, por lo que pues ya no aparecen los cuerpos en la zona de Bajamar, no aparecen los cuerpos de pronto en las calles, pero sí están muchos desaparecidos. Cada semana vemos que pasan los noticieros personas desaparecidas y que luego en algunos casos las encuentran en comunes y en otros casos no aparecen. No están las garantías en el tema de la seguridad. Para la comunidad.
The situation in the community stays much as it was. About the only thing we could say positive is that there are no longer bodies in the streets, bodies on the seashore. But disappearances continue. Many people disappear on a regular basis. There's no guarantee of safety for the community. I asked John Hyro if he has a message for dock workers here in North America.
La actividad portuaria que se realiza en los distintos puertos del mundo es una sola. Y por lo tanto, eso nos hace a nosotros, nos hace ser hermanos. Y esta lucha que nosotros estamos haciendo acá en Colombia y que se da generalmente en todos los puertos del mundo, esta lucha la tenemos que sentir en la piel, tenemos que sentirla en la sangre y que de igual manera debemos de ser solidarios. Y agradecerles a ellos por todo los gestos y apoyos que han hecho la lucha de los trabajadores portuarios en Colombia en los comentarios políticos. Pero que de igual manera nosotros necesitamos de que ese apoyo sea un apoyo presencial, sea un apoyo en el cual no solamente nosotros como directivos lo veamos, sino que lo conozcan nuestros compañeros de base y que no nos sintamos solos en este caso. Lo que nosotros les pedimos es que difundan la problemática nuestra, que también nos ayuden a hacer presión a estas multinacionales, que también nos ayuden a hacer presión a estos gobiernos, tanto como el gobierno de Estados Unidos como el de Colombia, para que tengan en cuenta la condición laboral de todos los trabajadores en Colombia, y especialmente de los trabajadores portuarios, que somos los que movemos la economía de este país.
The fight that we are fighting in the various ports of the world is the same. We're brothers and sisters. We want to be in solidarity with one another. It's important to understand this needs to be not just a matter of the leadership being in contact, but also of a real presence of the rank and file together, that we know each other, that we know we're not alone, that we support each other in our work. It's a matter of gaining solidarity, of being able to combat the transnationals, of being able to pressure the governments of the United States, of Colombia, to respect labor rights of everyone, and particularly of the port workers. The final question was whether John Jairo had anything else he would like to share.
Bueno, lo que quisiera compartir con ellos es agradecerle pues tanto a Acción Permanente por la Paz, en cabeza de compañero que el compañero New World, y también al medio de comunicación que nos está brindando este espacio para nosotros poder difundir la problemática no solamente laboral sino de Buenaventura. Y pues esperando que no solamente esta sea la primera o la segunda vez prácticamente, porque esta sería prácticamente la segunda vez en la que nosotros a través de los medios de comunicación de esta emisora de Estados Unidos podamos dar a conocer la problemática, y que ojalá para la próxima no sea ya tema de problemática, sino que sea un tema de solución que ya tenemos nosotros dando a conocer de que han mejorado las condiciones de los trabajadores acá en Colombia.
John Jairo thanked us and said that he hopes this is not the first or the second time that we will discuss labor conditions and social conditions in Buenaventura and in Colombia. We will continue to build solidarity in the future. We will continue to stand together. Thank you for listening. This is John Walsh, your host tonight on Labor Radio.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now.